Thank you for listening to Faith on the Field Show. Check out faithonthefieldshow.com for all our previous episodes and merchandise and see a list of all of our awesome sponsors. Please take a minute to download, subscribe, and review our show and tell us if you love it or however you feel about it. This episode is brought to you by Rick Santella, financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. Call Rick at 215-845-6018. Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and Doug Horton. And we are getting ready for Christmas. And to do that, we have a very, very special episode today, a very special Christmas episode. Joining us in studio will be Santa Claus himself, all the way from the North Pole.
I know him.
I don't know how he had time to stop making the toys or everything he's doing. Is he working on cookies or is that, I don't know, who's we put the cookies out for him, right?
He just does the toys.
So Santa will be here, and then later on in our Faith in the Field segment, we got a big treat for everybody. You're going to hear Julia Ray perform two beautiful songs. She's got an incredible, amazing voice, so make sure you stay tuned to hear Julia sing later on in this episode. But we want to talk about Christmas today. We want to talk about the real meaning behind Christmas, because I see more and more, I see people out there get so consumed with buying the presents, putting up the decorations, just doing everything that really takes your focus and takes your mind and takes your heart off of what Christmas is all about. And I want to talk about that a little bit. I also want to talk about some of the Christmas traditions that we've done in our past. Christmas has changed a lot for me over the years, a lot from when I was a kid to now. And it's different. Sometimes I miss some of the old traditions, you know,
Absolutely.
Some of the things that you grew up in. But it's having kids makes it so much more special.
Being a kid to being a parent who has kids. I mean, it's a different experience, isn't it?
No doubt. But the first thing I really want to start with is I want to encourage people out there to not really focus. I know you might be last minute shopping. You're running down that list and you're like going out of your mind. What do I get this person? What do I get that person? And you really forget about, this is the celebration of our Savior's birth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about. It's our Savior was born. Well, we're celebrating. I don't know if he was born on December 25th.
Yeah,
you could talk about that.
Definitely not born on December 25th.
But that's what we're celebrating.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when. You know, it's funny you said that, Rob, because there are some people that say, he wasn't born on December 25th. It was a pagan holiday. And look, it doesn't really matter when we're celebrating it. We are recognizing the sovereignty and the special moment that Christmas is. And, you know, for me, Christmas is one of those things where we can look at and say, God sees us. And God sought us out. You know, when we couldn't do anything, God actually saw us in our state, and he made a way to come to us. That's what Christmas really is. It's this amazing moment. I was thinking about it the other day about, you know, do you remember a few years ago the Chilean miners were stuck in the mine?
Yeah.
Right? And it was
yeah.
impossible. They couldn't get out. They were so far deep and down. And the only possibility was from the surface to get to them. There was no way for them to get to the surface. And all the work and all the planning and all the miracle, right? It was the miracle that it took to get them out. And that's actually what Christmas is. Like, you and I and humanity, we were stuck in this place where we couldn't get to God. We couldn't get to life. We couldn't get to holiness. We couldn't get to wholeness. And Jesus actually, through the miraculous power, through seeing us and choosing us and loving us, he split the veil. He stepped into eternity itself. He was willing to wear the restraints of humanity so that he could bring heaven to us instead of asking us to somehow try to get ourselves to heaven. And that's as much joy as people had when those miners came out of that mine is the same joy we should have when we come to Christmas morning and realize, well, we're not just celebrating a child that was born in a manger. We are celebrating the fact that God made a way for us to get out of this entrapment that we were in and into the wholeness of a relationship with him that not only brings heaven into our future, but brings heaven into our reality now.
That's amazing. And it's so true. that's what it's all about, Kyle. That's what it's all about, Doug. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you, and as you're talking about that, and I'm picturing the manger,
yeah.
You know, and I'm picturing the manger, and we think of the three wise men, and we think of like the whole scene and just how beautiful it is, and how the nativity scene is done up, and you go around and some people have that outside their home and they have it inside their home. But what it really meant was, here was God giving us, like you said, a way through his son, Jesus Christ. And he comes down and he's born and he gets to walk this earth. So as we have questions, as we have trials and tribulations, as we have difficulties, Jesus understands that because he lived on this earth.
Yes, correct.
He knew that. He lived on this earth. And it is through Christmas, through his birth, that he came to be man. A perfect one at that.
Correct.
He was perfect. We weren't. But we can turn to him because he knows what it's like to go through those trials, to go through those temptations. He was tempted as well.
The greatest miracle is not the resurrection. The greatest miracle is the incarnation.
Wow.
You know, other people were resurrected from the dead, but no one else was ever incarnated as God. And that's the beautiful thing about this moment. Without the manger, without the cradle, there is no cross. Without the manger, there incarnation, there is no resurrection.
You know, when we think about communion and Easter, and we celebrate the resurrection all throughout the year, but this is really the one time a year where we actually celebrate the birth.
Yeah.
You know, we consider remembering Christ died for us, and you know, I don't know how many times, you know, in your you know, your church, or you do communion, whether it's monthly or, you know, however many times you would do that. But, you know, this is really a time just for celebration of Christ coming to earth to give us that gift, the ultimate gift.
It's interesting. Rob talked about the wise men coming, and we know that they weren't there at the birth. They certainly made their way there.
How many days did it take them to find?
But what I love about Matthew, when he says in Matthew 2 about the wise men coming, he actually says they didn't come seeking an event. They didn't come seeking a moment. They came seeking a person. Where is he who was born King of the Jews? We've come to worship him. And when I think about that moment, when it comes to church, when it comes to our life with Christ, when it comes to Christmas, look, we can enjoy the moments. We can enjoy the events. There's certain spectacular, right? I mean, the angels show up. There's all sorts of amazing majesty around the event. But the wise men didn't seek an event. In these moments, when we come to God, when we come to church on Christmas, it's not really just about the fun Christmas. We used to have Christmas cantatas when I was growing up. The Christmas cantatas, the Christmas shows, the Christmas.
You got to explain what a cantata is.
That's a Baptist word for a big choir thing.
All right. Did you know that?
With a little bit of drama. I knew what cantata
was.
Yeah, it's a little drama, a little music.
Oh, okay. But it really is, Rob. I think, you know, I want to encourage our listeners that it's about seeking a person. The beautiful thing about Christmas really is this compassionate God who was willing to do whatever it took to come to us so that we could have a life with him.
Seeking a person, and you know, seeking that person, seeking that one. I recently had an opportunity to speak at a high school in Camden through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I got to speak to a group of kids. And at the end of sharing my testimony, I offered them an opportunity to give their life to Christ. And I'll probably never forget this because it was so moving. And one of the girls looked up at me and she said, "Do you mean right now?"
Wow.
She said, she said, "Do you mean right now? You want me to come up there right now?" And I said, "Yeah." And she had tears in her eyes. And she's like, "Because I need Jesus. I need Jesus." And we're talking about seeking a person who was born on this day, right? Who was born. This is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus. But as you know, what we need in our lives really isn't that toy, that present, that gift, that car that's wrapped up in a beautiful bow sitting out in the driveway. I once did that for
Remy. That's not a bad gift. I'm just saying, if you want to unburden yourself with that, I'm here.
But the one that we should be seeking after all of this is Jesus. I wish more people can see the value in what it's like to have a teenage girl go, "You mean right now? Because I need Jesus." Yeah, I mean right now. I need that. That's the Savior who was born, whose birth we're celebrating on Christmas Day. And that's what it's all about. It's not about, you know, all of the doing it all upright. It's great to have fun. It's great to have all that stuff. And I actually do want to have ask you a little bit about Santa Claus in a little bit there, Pastor Cox.
Before you do that, though, give a little context, though, about what Camden is. Because, you know, for our listeners that aren't from this area, you know, Camden is a tough area. And for somebody to say, do you want me to come forward right now? It's not a nice little sanctuary to the point where, you know, it's a safe environment and you know, it's comfortable to come forward.
It's been the most dangerous city in our country for years. It is the poorest city in our country.
I know the stats are right there with Detroit.
So I think the statistic I just saw was 81% of all young men go to jail before they're 25. So,
wow.
I mean, it's a staggering.
So when you look at the darkness that's surrounding that and the light that is able to come from that, it's the same thing. People are looking for help. People are looking for a savior.
My wife said something the other day that was just so profound. We had the food truck went out on Friday night to a local college. At a local college in the middle of Philadelphia, from 11 o'clock at night to 1 o'clock in the morning, we were giving away free food.
No, say that again. 11 o'clock at night to 1 o'clock in the morning.
Where were you?
We were at downtown Philly at
11 at night to 1 in the morning.
And because, look, the college students were up. They're out. Yeah. That's their time. And 55 young people gave their life to Jesus just from the food. 55.
College students. During the last week of class.
And my wife said this. She said,
wow.
We always think that people are saying no to Jesus, but they just don't know they can say yes. Mm. And I think that's the reality. We think people are saying no to Jesus, and they just don't know that they can say yes. And, you know, what we're saying yes to is something so profound. It's not an ideology. It's not a philosophy. It's not a religion. It really is this amazing person who lived. And, Rob, we were just talking a little bit before the show about, you know, when I had to come to a decision on following Jesus, I was a scientist. That's how that was my major. And I always liked numbers.
I don't know that I knew that.
I was a pre-med major, actually.
Did you know that?
I don't know.
I didn't know that.
I know. I occasionally went to class, not very often, but occasionally.
You mixed that in with basket weaving and everything.
I actually did have volleyball and bowling in college. It was awesome.
You were starting quarterback.
One of the things I loved is, you know, we were just talking about this the other day at church, but when it comes to hanging my life on Jesus, making sure that I actually am following somebody who is worth following. When you look statistically at Jesus's life, you know, the Bible says in Micah 5, you know, out of you, Bethlehem, will come for me the ruler who is from Ancient of Days, right? Now that's written hundreds of years before Jesus shows up. So Jesus actually, this is amazing when you think about it. Jesus fulfills over 350 prophecies in his life, over 350.
Wow.
Now, mathematicians say that the odds for one person to fulfill only 8 prophecies written before they were born in their lifetime is 10 to the 17th power. That's 1 in 100 quadrillion percent chance. Now, that's mind-blowing, right?
For those who don't get math, it's astronomical.
Millions, billions, trillions, quadrillions, right? Yeah. Exactly. Let me just put this into perspective. It's like taking the state of Texas, filling it 2 feet deep with silver dollars, marking an X on one of those silver dollars, swirling it around, taking one person, dropping them in a helicopter somewhere in the state of Texas, and then pulling that coin out on the first try. That's the likelihood of one man fulfilling just 8 prophecies in his life.
Even Jerry Jones couldn't do that.
No, absolutely. He needs a lot more help, by the way, than that.
Yeah,
Jesus fulfilled over 350. Come on, bro. If I am going to hang my life on some, if I'm going to actually believe, if I'm going to put my life in the hands of somebody, I'm going to put my life in the hands of somebody who could do something like that.
And it's a gift. It's there. It's just for you to take. And, you know, Kyle, you talk about the food truck. And, you know, the week before that, I texted you, and I guess you were at the Philadelphia Eagles game last week. And there's 58 people that gave their life.
Yeah, 58 people before that at the Eagles game in the parking lot.
Fans getting ready. Getting ready to go in to watch the game, or some of them are tailgating, and then they're going over to one of the establishments to watch the game. So
they're just accepting the gift. And I love the philosophy behind the food truck because it's not for the poor people. It's not for just people in Camden. It's for college students. It's for people that have season tickets to an Eagles game.
For everybody.
It's just being blessed because Jesus is for everybody. And just as you accept the food, you're accepting the gift of Christ and salvation.
That's the story of Christmas, isn't it? I mean, Jesus didn't just come for any socioeconomic or ethnic group. He came for everyone. Matter of fact, the Jewish world was trying to say that trying to keep the Messiah just for them. And Jesus' entire message is, I'm not just for a group of people. I'm not just for one level of thinking, one group of people. My message, my love is for everyone who's out there. And so That's the message of Christmas.
That's what I love. And what people say oftentimes is when as you were talking about with your wife, saying it's not saying no. It's saying
they just don't know that they can say yes.
They don't know that they can say yes. Sometimes they also think like, okay, what next? Now what happens? And we often on this show and everywhere we are, we try to tell people it's not a magic pill. It doesn't mean all your problems and all your issues are going to go away. In many ways, sometimes it's much harder to be a Christ follower. Yeah. It's a lot easier to do what the world tells you. It's a lot easier to live in a secular society. And we say it's a work in progress. We had that as the title of our show recently, didn't we?
A work in progress.
It's just a journey. But once you've made that decision, once you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're equipped with that power now. Like you have Him in your heart. You have Him in your life. And you will be set free from whatever it is that you're going through. And sometimes you don't have to be going through difficulty. Sometimes, and we say this a lot, sometimes you could have it all and still have a void, still feel unfulfilled. Well, Jesus fills that void. And now we're talking about Christmas and we're talking about presents and I want this and I want that. Well, if I told you you can get one thing that will bring you true lasting joy, true lasting peace, I'm sure everyone out there would be like, yeah, give me some of that. Yeah, Put it in a bottle and let me have that. Hey, it's Christmas time. You're all asking for presents. Everybody's got something on their wish list, whether it's secret or not. But if I offered you true, lasting peace, joy in your heart, in your life, how can I give that to you? I can't put it in a bottle and sell it to you. I can't put it in a box and wrap it up real nice with nine bows and however Remy does it. And I'm sure Chris and Daniel can it real nice. I'm the rapper, and you see all the all the tape everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes I'll use electric tape if I run out of tape.
I'm just stapling the bag shut.
Right?
It's beautiful.
I
can tape ankles. I can tape a present together.
I love a nice gift bag.
I love a good gift bag.
I can't really do the tissue paper in there, but I love me a nice gift bag. But what we're talking about is it can't be put into a gift box. Mm-hmm. It can't be put into a gift bag. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, man, that is the ultimate gift.
Yeah, correct.
That is the ultimate present. When He took that cross for us, there is no greater gift that anyone has ever given anyone else in humanity. I mean, think about that. He took that cross for us.
Yeah.
That grace that we are saved by, not by earning it, not by what
Correct.
We can do. That is the ultimate gift. The ultimate gift. And it's there. It's there for us. If we want it, it's there.
You can't work for a gift. If you work for something, it's a wage. A gift is only given freely. But Rob, I love what you just said, because the truth is that just because we receive a gift or the gift is available, doesn't make it applicable to our life until we open it, until we receive it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can have all the presents under the tree that we want, but if you don't actually open it, if you don't actually participate in it, take it in, it's useless. It's just beautiful under the tree. And so the gift is always beautiful, but it's not applicable until we actually open it and receive it ourselves.
You know, the other show that we've done in the past is called Do Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so whether you've accepted the gift, if you've accepted the gift, just give it to somebody else. Just do something. Talk to one person. Talk to a group of people. Just allow them to see that and offer it as a gift. And if you haven't accepted it yet, then maybe this year is the time to make that decision and just truly accept a gift that's there for you.
Hey, there's no better time than Christmas time.
Absolutely.
Right? There's no better time than Christmas time to be born again, to be renewed, to find your salvation than you can right now at this time, at Christmas time. I want to talk about a part of the Christmas story that sometimes gets a little bit overlooked, right? And all of this happens when an angel, Gabriel, appears to Mary. And Mary is this poor woman, girl, teenager, right?
Teenager, yeah.
Someone who probably thinks she's lowly. She's not high on the pedestal. She's someone low on the totem pole. And the angel appears to Mary and says, "You're going to be blessed with bringing our Savior, Jesus, into this world." And she could have said no. she could have been afraid, because at that time, in that culture, to be an unwed mom, what are people going to think about her? How is she going to be looked upon? She kind of risks her life.
No, she does risk her life.
Right.
Because Joseph, she was betrothed, which means that she, in our culture, would have been married. It's not it's not the same. And he had the right to stone her to death because she was pregnant from, in his eyes, from another man.
Right.
So, I mean, she was absolutely risking her life saying yes to the promise. And I think sometimes that's what we have to look at. There's always a risk to saying yes.
Obedience.
Yeah, there's always a risk of obedience. But the reward far outweighs the risk.
Well, think about that girl coming forward, Rob, you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Accept now. Like, she can come forward now and just accept the gift. Mary accepted the responsibility of carrying Christ. But, you know, all we have to do right now is just accept the gift.
Yeah, and I mean, I love that text because, you know, there's so much to it. Her, you know, she pondered the word in her heart. She treasured it in her heart. And I think, you know, one of the greatest encouragements we can give during this time is that, you know, God has spoken things into our heart so that we can actually treasure them and ponder them. Man, can you imagine her walking down the street, going to the well just to grab some water during the day, and all the girls around there snickering behind her back. Yeah, she's the one who got knocked up by God, right? And it wasn't a one-time moment. That thing was going to follow her the rest of her life. And yet, in order to break free from that, What did she have to do? She put the word in her heart, and she allowed the word to actually transform her heart. And, you know, one of the things I love about the whole Christmas story is that, you know, they're not from Bethlehem. They're actually from Nazareth, right?
Yeah.
And but the prophecy says,
does anything good come from
Nazareth?
Right.
It's this backwater town, Rob. Maybe 200 people at the time of Jesus. I mean, it's not a big deal. Bethlehem's really not much bigger either at that point in time. And yet they're not
from there.
But God has to bring them to this place so that the prophetic word that was spoken hundreds of years before can happen in her life. Yeah. Can I just encourage our listeners today? There are some times that we're in the movement moment where we are being moved from one place of our comfort, our home, our place where we've been that we've known for our whole lives, to this place of the unknown. And we don't really understand why we're going there. And the reason we're going there is because that's where God has something to birth inside of you. That's where God has something to actually, where the prophetic nature of God, the prophetic word of God over your life can be set free and be brought into fullness. So if you're in that prophetic, if you're in that movement moment where you may be uncertain, where you're going from Nazareth to Bethlehem, just stand on the word. And that's where God, she had to ponder the word in her heart. She treasured it in her heart so that when there was that movement moment, she could arrive where God wanted her to be. When there's the after that movement moment, she could go from that to the place of the cross and still be standing to see Jesus move.
And it all started by her obedience.
By her saying yes.
And by her saying yes.
Be it unto me
and
according to your word.
Sometimes when we hear God's call, we're reluctant, we're hesitant, we're afraid. Mary wasn't.
No. And the angel says to her, fear not. The normal thing, Rob, is when we hear those moments, for us to naturally to be hesitant. And that's why we have to give the whole, you know, our ear to the whole counsel of God. He doesn't just say you're going to have a child. He starts out by saying, hey, I got your back. Don't worry. Don't fear.
That's because we turn around and we're like, you mean now?
Yeah. And they
you
say, yeah, this
you
is what you're talking about now, right?
Now?
I agree, God. That's a good idea for someone else. Yeah,
maybe that's great.
Yeah, maybe later.
Before we wrap this up, I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, Santa Claus and some people have different traditions and they look at that and they say, you know, I don't want to bring Santa in, or I don't talk about Santa. Hey, we welcome Santa into our studio.
In studio.
Santa's the man.
We're going to have him here next.
Did you guys do Santa growing up?
Growing up, I was the kid who didn't believe, and I got yelled at by Sister Dennis or Sister Mary Ellen. I don't know who it was in kindergarten, first grade. Rob, don't you go telling anybody that there's no Santa. I just didn't believe. But I don't take that away from my girls. And my girls, I think this past summer, were told by one of their cousins there's no Santa Claus.
Oh.
But they're playing it off anyway.
Oh, they're too young. They want
the double gifts. So
right.
they're acting like they're Santa. They're still acting like there's the elf on the whatever that
elf
is.
On the
that,
shelf?
That annoying thing that I got to move every night. I keep forgetting. About they know better, but that's okay.
We didn't do Santa with our kids, and so that was the same thing where we're like, no, we kind of talked about it that some people like that, but don't go to school and tell anybody there's no Santa. So a little bit of trouble with one of our girls doing that in the past, but you know,
how about you, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, Jake obviously knew that we had talked about Santa, but not we were pretty much honest with him from the very beginning.
Right away.
And just And it's all good because we wanted to make it about Jesus. Not that we don't sell, you know, right. We include Santa, it's fun.
Take
we
didn't, the pictures.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. We include, but it's about what it was about.
And that the true meaning of Christmas,
yeah.
Going back to what we started with today, is Jesus.
Yep.
It's all about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So as you're going out there and you're trying to cross off that last minute gift from your list and you're driving yourself crazy. What do I get this person? What do I get that person? Just take a minute, take a step back, go listen to song, go listen to O Holy Night, or go listen to Silent Night, or Oh Come All Ye Faithful, like some of these beautiful, amazing songs, and we'll hear one of them later on from Julia Ray as she sings, and just enjoy what this season is all about. When we come back on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University, we'll talk to Santa right here in studio. Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and we have a very special guest here on our Christmas episode. Santa's here.
Santa's in the house.
Good old Saint Nick is here. There he is. Saint Nick happens to be my good friend Anthony DiTrollio. Anthony and I played softball together with Anthony Sanfilippo way back. Anthony and I have done radio shows here together, and Anthony DiTrollio and I we played. What was it about? A dozen years ago,
at least,
right, Ant? Mm-hmm. So tell
I weighed
us
a lot less than I.
Well, this is all part of the costume, though. Yes. This is all part of being Santa. That's not the real.
No one likes a skinny Santa Claus. You know what I'm saying, Ant? No one likes a skinny Santa Claus.
You got to play the role, Ant. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing your part for
the community. You're paying the price for your community, bro. That's good stuff.
So get some more cannolis. Get whatever you want in there. Make yourself happy. And tell me, like, when was the first time you put on the costume? Do you remember that, the feeling, like the first time kids saw you in that costume?
The first time I did it for like young cousins and nieces and nephews at a family Christmas party, and just that feeling, you know, like the kids, like as soon as you walked in the door of the house and everybody jumping, oh my God, you know, it's Santa, and the kids getting all excited, the little ones running to mom and dad because they were little frightened at the time, and other kids, I mean, even now, every time I walk in with the little kids, and all ages, they come running to Santa. You know, the kids that are more comfortable now, they come running, hugging me.
And you said all ages, because how cool is this? Because we all see Santa Claus. Everybody wants to take a picture with Santa, no matter how old you are.
We're in the office here. Santa walks in. Everybody's running. People come out of the woodwork. Yeah.
Well, you're lucky that our producer, Ryan Lennox, didn't ask to sit in your lap like he did last year to our Santa. And Ryan's a big boy. So it's good you got through that. You've done a couple of my events, a couple of charity events that I've had in years past. And let me tell you, like, the hit of the party had nothing to do with when I went up there or Remy went up there. It was when Santa arrived, and we really always appreciated that. You also had me recently come out to your church, Christ Our Light, in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and speak to some of the youth, and that was a really cool experience for me to be able to go back, because I was raised Catholic, and to go back to a Catholic church and just be able to talk to them about my journey. So I really appreciated that. How was that for you guys? Was there anybody who was like, hey, you know, this is pretty cool, we really appreciate having him in.
Oh, it was great. I mean, I had the younger kids come and say, thank you. The adults were thanking us, you know, and they said it was just, you know, it was a really great event. Now, you know, one or two people were expecting a little more sports, but after you started talking, they opened up and they said, wow, it wasn't what I expected, but it was better than I expected. It was great.
So good.
Hearing your background and your journey, and going on about your journey and where you are today, and the journey still continues. And they were just, I mean, and you, as you saw it afterwards, just everybody sharing their experiences with you.
It was so cool, and I like what you mentioned about people who came to hear about sports. There was this one woman, and I'm going to tell her story because it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So she was a school teacher in Clementon, New Jersey, and she came up to me afterwards and said, I came here expecting to hear a sports conversation, and your story was so much better, and I really needed to hear that today. And I was like, hey, I use sports to go in there and talk to people. But she said, being in the public school system, right, Kyle? She was in a public school system. She really couldn't talk about God.
Absolutely.
So on her day of retirement, she told the story. I got goosebumps. I cried afterwards. second grade little boy, I think his name was Waheem, he handed her either a plaque or whatever it was, but it said, trust fully in God.
Wow.
Right? And she said to him, hey, how did you know that I believe in God? And this is a second grade boy. What are they, about 8 years old in grade, something like that? He said, it's by the way you live your life.
Wow.
And we talk about that all the time, right, Pastor God? It's not about taking a Bible and shoving it down people's throats. It's by how you live your life. So she really had an impact on me there, and that was tremendous. Now, you guys, I was there a week ago or so. You have a pretty big name coming in, too. So I'm glad to just, like, be the appetizer for this. You have Sarah Hart, who is a big name in Christian music. She's coming to your school. She's coming to the church, right?
Yes.
And she'll be there on January 11th, 7 to 9 p.m. It is a free event. Well, tell everybody the address and where it is so they can put it on their calendar. I don't think they're going to be worried about Eagles playoff game that day.
No, not at all. It'll be Friday night. It'll be a wonderful event. Right on Christ Our Light. It's on King's Highway, right between Church Road and Chapel Avenue. Great event. You know, look it up on MapQuest. We're right there, and you know, we invite one and all to come and enjoy an evening of Sarah's music.
And you can stop at Gallo's Bakery and get some of those cannolis right around the corner. You know, say, well, that's good. Hey, Anthony, you know, you're a parent as well, and you know, not only do you do a lot for community and with kids, but having children. What's one of your traditions? What's one of your Christmas traditions that really has value to you and that you have valued being able to instill into your children?
One tradition, and this is from myself growing up. I mean, going to Christmas Eve, going to church Christmas Eve, making sure, you know, that's a regular event.
Midnight Mass?
Not yet, because I know the kids wouldn't make it.
It's hard with the little ones.
Midnight Mass, bro. But we do like a 6:30 or 8:30 Mass. I was still for a while going to my old church where I grew up. Mm-hmm. They had Midnight Mass, but. Just, you know, we did the whole tradition of that and coming home.
Seven Fishes?
Open Unit 1. Never really got into the Seven Fishes.
I'm a fine Italian family.
Dude, I'm with you, bro. No, I'm with you. I'm out.
Wow, okay.
I need some pasta. Yeah. I need some meatballs.
I want a lasagna and
turkey. I need something good.
Oh, no. And I come from the family, you know, we have dinner, Thanksgiving or Christmas. It was... Thanksgiving, it was the turkey and the ravioli and the sausage. You know, it was all laid out.
I'm hungry now. That's beautiful.
Yeah. But my children, and then we come home, they open the one
present
under the tree, you know, and then, of course, promptly, now they're both almost teenagers, so it's, but younger, they were promptly in bed or Santa wasn't going to show up.
That was the nice part earlier when they were younger, right? You could actually bribe them to go to bed early, right? But of course, then we as parents, helping Santa, mm-hmm. we had to stay up and build all the presents.
I've been there.
The things without instructions I don't know.
I'll give you a funny short story. My wife this year told one of my sons to give her a list of what he wanted for Christmas. And he gave it to her. She's like, no, I want it neat. He texted it to her. She's like, okay, this is as neat as I can get. And texted the list.
This is what we've come to, right? This is the new world. Next, they're going to be going on Amazon, right? And ordering it themselves.
Exactly.
And saying, here you go.
My son has given me an Amazon Christmas wish list. I don't know, since the time that he was a young teenager.
Oh, man. Christmas isn't with kids the way it used to be.
No, do you remember when we were younger, we'd get to, like, the Sears toy catalog? You actually had to go and circle stuff in the catalog, bro. Toys R Us. You were hoping for that thing to come out. And
the catalogs. My girls still go through, like, a Target catalog right now.
They circle every single thing.
Paige will put it in her cart. She'll put it in the cart. She'll go on. She'll put the whole list in. So it's all there. You just got to buy it. No list.
That's brilliant.
No list. It's in the cart.
That's brilliant.
And you might accidentally hit buy and not know what you're buying. Kind of like Amazon. I go in there and there's like 42 things in the cart already. Well, Ant, thank you so much for coming in here.
Yeah,
you know, normally this
me.
Segment we have a professional athlete. But, hey, this is our Christmas special.
That's right.
And
Ant is a professional.
You are a fine softball player. You qualify as our former athlete. And you are Santa Claus. Thank you so much for coming in here. Want to wish you and your family and everyone a Merry Christmas. When we come back on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Kieran University, Julia Ray will perform live in studio. Welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and Doug Horton. And joining us, a very special guest for our Faith in the Field segment is Julia Ray. Julia is a former reporter at 6ABC. She was the 2015 Miss Philadelphia. Julia, you're going to tell us all about your nonprofit, and you are soon to be a rising star singer. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Rob. Guys,
I'm going to tell you guys how I met Julia, and y'all know about the flag football game that I participate in, NRG's flag football game for the media. So this year, Julia was on my team, and we played, who was our coach? William Thomas was our coach, former Eagle. So
Very cool. Absolutely.
There's four teams made up of media guys and gals and four different former players, Todd Herrmanns, William Thomas, and Trey Thomas. I forget who the other one was, but that's okay, because Trey Thomas's team cost us the championship.
They dominated.
Right? And the reason was...
He stacked it.
Now here's the reason why, Kyle, and I want to get your input on this, because Trey went all out and got diagram plays on a tablet and was using all 20 seconds in between plays to go on the field, show his guys the play he wanted run, and in fact, not only that, he was calling designed running plays.
I'm just saying, look, I'm going to channel my inner Dennis Green. You play to win the game. That's all I'm saying. Look, if you're going to step on the field, we're going to play. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to win.
Doug, is that any kind of...
It's a little over the top, but he just changed the expectations for all future games. Right? Everybody's going to have iPads.
So
you're going to have microphones.
Meanwhile, here we are. William Thomas is trying to coach us up with certain plays. I'm quarterbacking, not listening to a thing he's got coming in. And I had no idea, but my go-to receiver was Julia.
That's a good one.
Man, you caught everything I threw. Have you played football before?
I have two older brothers, so we grew up on the beach in Ocean City every summer running plays and... Yeah, I have quite a bit of experience.
Do you have video of your touchdown?
No. I have nothing. I have no proof. No proof.
Well, you have my word for it. She caught pass at some point in that game.
Which means you actually threw a touchdown pass?
I threw a couple.
Just a couple.
I was trying to blow you up there. I was trying to encourage you.
Hey,
we went 1-1. We didn't lose everything.
And we would have won a championship here. Actually, what happened against Trey's team?
What happened?
If you had better plays. That's what it comes down to.
We had diagrams,
I'm going to take it on final play. We could have won. I threw a – who was it? Chris Sowers made a diving catch on a Hail Mary that I threw. It wasn't like a real Hail Mary. It was like a 30-yard out. I threw it out of bounds. He made a diving, incredible catch, and I threw it too far out of bounds.
It's all me.
Hey, we can't all be like former University of Tennessee quarterbacks like Kyle Horner over here.
I couldn't throw it 30 yards anymore, bro, so you're good.
Oh, man. But, Julia, that was a lot of fun. So we had a lot of fun on the field, and I didn't realize this till we obviously follow each other on social media and talk about the game and everything. And then I just see a video of you singing, and I was like, she's got a phenomenal, phenomenal voice. When did you start singing?
My family would tell you from the time I could talk, I was singing. My brothers asked if I had an off button very early on. much to their dismay, I do not. And I never learned how to shut it off, so here I am, still singing to this day.
Well, that's a great thing, and because today is our Christmas special episode, we're going to have you sing a couple songs for us here in studio. Tell us a little bit about your career, though. You worked at 6ABC. You have this nonprofit, and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I have cystic fibrosis, a chronic lung disease, and so I grew up trying to reconcile why I would have a lung disease and also a passion to sing. And so when I was 16, I decided to sing at the top of my lungs for a cure for cystic fibrosis and to support music therapy programs in our children's hospitals, because I know what a difference that made for me as a young kid growing up.
Love that.
So,
If people want to contribute to it, if they want to donate or do anything, how can they
do
that?
Especially in the holiday season of giving. You can go to singingatthetopofmylungs.com. We have a lot of great events coming up in 2019. We'll have a local Philly fundraiser for you to attend in the spring. So definitely be on the lookout for all of that.
And going through everything you had to do, the competition for Miss Philadelphia, did you get a chance to perform? Was
that?
Oh, yeah. Singing at talent is one of the biggest portions of your score at Miss Philadelphia. So that's part of the reason I even ever became a pageant girl was just another excuse to sing.
Well, when everybody gets a chance to hear you sing, they'll know what I'm talking about because you do have an incredible voice. And are you ready to give it, show our
Let's
audience? The
it.
First song Julia's going to sing is Where Are You Christmas? By Faith Hill. This is a beautiful song. Can't wait to hear you sing this song. Here is Julia Ray, Where Are You Christmas? Take it away.
Thank you.
We got to give her a standing ovation. Yeah. Incredible.
Awesome.
Wow.
Thank you.
Better being in here.
Right?
Right?
How about
amazing.
That? That was incredible.
Love that song.
Thank you.
That so
is
good.
Such a good song.
A beautiful song. You rocked it, Julia. Thank you so much for that. I mean, if you have it in you to do another one, can you want to do Holy Night?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, you want to wait a few seconds, and that would what is it about that song? Why don't you tell us a little bit about what is it about "Where Are You Christmas" that you really like?
I don't know, I feel like it really speaks to the fact that I think a lot of people in this day and age get caught up in the materialism of the holiday season.
Preach, girl, preach.
And it's so nice to be reminded of why we're all really celebrating.
True.
How perfect is that? This is what we're talking about on this
exactly
episode
right,
today.
Exactly.
And that's why Julia chose that. She's going to perform for us "O Holy Night," which I don't know about you, Pastor Kyle. This is probably...
I love this song.
It's hard to pick one favorite song. I'll probably cry as I hear you singing this
pressure,
one.
No pressure.
Ryan, are you ready back there for "O Holy Night"? Yeah, bring me some tissues in here. if you're ready to go and you're ready to go, let's do this. This is "O Holy Night" by Julia Ray.
"Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. Small fall.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible, Julia. I said in the beginning, soon to be rising star. I mean, you are a rising star. Your voice is phenomenal. Thank you so much for those performances. That was incredible. Everyone out there listening, I'm sure, felt blessed to hear your voice. We wish you tons of blessings in everything as you pursue your career.
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be here with you guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
I want to thank everyone out there for listening to the show. Big thanks to our guest today, Santa Claus and Julia Ray. Thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his outstanding work on our website and podcast, our wives for the time they give us to be here, Ryan Lennox for producing the show, 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Live, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on a Field Show. For Kyle and Doug, I'm Rob Motti. Merry Christmas, and make a difference. Be a blessing.